far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, get ready to enter the 21st century with Techno Police 21C.
Episode is going to be about Techno Police 21C. I guess we should do introductions. People don't even know who we are.
Well, no, I think we should do introductions in the Godfrey Ho dub of this version of the anime, where I'm like, that's not the anime of yesteryear podcast. It is
you fools, don't you know who we are? Shut
you
up.
You don't know who we are? Shut up! Listen and shut up! Okay.
This has got to be one of the worst dubs I've ever seen.
Really?
It's just like that Hong Kong acting.
I know.
It's just the worst.
I thought about that too. So, okay, real introductions this time. Welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. And as I, one of your hosts, Dustin. And with me is John. And we are going to talk like this and yell into one mic like this. The whole time. No, not really. But, no, I thought about that too. I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, I'll be honest. When I heard Techno Police the first time, like, I literally couldn't stop laughing the entire time in the movie. Like, it got me gut laughing the most listening to it. And then I had to compare with Macross, Do You Remember Love? And honestly, like, I'm going to say this is slightly worse than the Macross Clash of the Bionoids dub.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both bad, but this is kind of its own unique bad. You know, basically like Kung Fu movie style, but even those Kung Fu movies sound better than this.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they had more than three actors.
I don't know.
Come on, you know like three people voiced in this. At least three. No, at most three. They did have the one woman, unless an Asian guy can really pull off a female voice very well.
Yeah, the girl is stuck in the tank the entire second half or two-thirds of the movie.
Well, there's only, like, what, three or four girls in this entire thing? And, of course, they all sound the same.
Yeah, it's all one person.
Well, there also was the, there's two female robots. There's the female soda machine dispenser, and then the female pink robot with, like, the hexadecimal, like, light bright thing on its face. Or what's supposed to be a face.
A hexadecimal from Reboot? Or...
Yeah! Well, we can't get that voice actress to play hexadecimal in this, so it's just random Asian woman that knows some English the good.
I bet these guys like English in high school or something, and like that's the extent of their knowledge of English. I mean, the script is not really like using any particularly obscure English words. You know, it's all very simple. Like, shut up. Or this thing about to. Right. There are two missiles left. There is one missile left.
Well, we had the one guy that sounded like he had, like, autism, like the big, like, dumb guy. He reminded me of the dumb guy in Archie or whatever. He's like, Dad, John, missiles! There's something ridiculous. See, now I want to say that, like, maybe this is better than Matt Cross, Do You Remember Love? Because we're having so much fun making fun of the dub of this, and you can't help but to laugh the entire time. But then there's also the fact, like, the robots have voices, and I think they just took, like, a tin can over the voice actor's mouth to sound robotic, but they also, like, sound like they've been chain-smoking for 50 years.
Yeah.
Eleanor, will you go out with me tonight? Cannot compute.
I watched these guys dub a Phoenix recently, the test, and it's like, they're just the worst, you know? Like, everything they do is garbage. Like, they edit out all the footage, and they, on that I'm not even sure, but, you know, is this one edited or not? But I mean, just the dubbing quality alone is bad enough, even if it's not edited. But, you know, there's, like, a reputation of Celebrity for Kids that they're edited, but then there's like, different versions of the tape that came out in the 80s and the 90s for this and for the Phoenix one.
Yeah, well,
and one of them, Best Film Co. or something like that, and I don't know if they just used the same dub or if they made it a little longer and less edited.
I believe it's the same dub, but, like, they had different versions of this released in other countries. Like, there's...
the UK version.
It's according to Wikipedia, because, you know, that's where everybody gets their information. There's one section that says, outside of English-speaking world, unedited video versions of Technopolis were seen in France, Germany, and Spain, and with a theatrical run in Cuba. So somehow Cuba got this movie.
Yeah. What I don't get about the Wikipedia article is, well, there's no sources, so it's like, who knows if the stuff is true or not. Yes.
And if it's not true, but it's going to get deleted
all the versions are the same for the English one, but it also lists the runtime as 79 minutes, which is how long the YouTube video was.
Yeah.
So if it was edited, like, what did they edit out, you know? If it's only, like, 1 minute shorter or about the same length, you know?
I mean, like, even if you even if you edit out time in this, like, are you really missing anything from the story? Like, not really.
I mean, I don't know what they would edit, because it's not really all that violent, even though it's, like, an action movie, but I don't think anyone dies in it or anything. It's just tanks and missiles and stuff.
So, the version, like, that's on YouTube, I don't know if that's the same for the Celebrity Just for Kids. The thing is, I wouldn't say it wouldn't be, because, like, this dub has swearing in it. And I don't think Celebrity Just for Kids would have swearing in their dubs. I don't know, like...
Why I thought it's... Because they said damn it several times. Like, at least three times they said damn.
No, there is a bastard in this once. But mostly it's hell and damn. So, yeah,
and I was surprised when I heard that. I was like, well, maybe this is the, like, there's two versions, one more for adults or something. But, you know, this is, I can see why they would market this towards kids, because it's just a big cheesy action scene.
What adult is going to sit through this and have their brain rot? I mean, like, unless it's just like a really, like, one of those adults that's like, yeah, I want to see some bad movies tonight. What do we got?
Okay, us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, poke fun at
those
people.
That's our target demographic for this.
Look who's reviewing it. Jeez.
And
I'm sure there's worse out there that we're going to find eventually. No, the real
this
reason...
This is not even, like, bad. It's just funny. I mean, not Citizen Kane, you know, you don't go in there expecting character in this. You know, the character's story arc or plot arc or anything... It's just a hilarious tank chase scene for 80 minutes.
Well, the tank chase scene happens, like, the last half of the movie. And honestly, like, that's when I feel like I thought this movie was, like, 2.5 hours long, because that just went on forever. Because the first... It's literally two different stories. One is, like, the police, like an episode of like Cops, or like even the crappy cartoon Cops or something. Like it's 30 minutes right there. The last hour of it is like probably the inspiration of what became Mad Dog 01, except it was with a tank instead of a boy trapped into a, an anti-tank robot. That's how it felt. I'm like, wait, this is effing freaking Mad Hawks, man. I've seen this shit.
I bet they did that before they made the move, Mad Hawks.
I think this is where they got their inspiration to make Mad Hawks, the staff on that. So it's like, oh, they must have been the only fan.
Yeah, so the movie. The movie starts out with, like, there's some guys that are.
I actually, no.
Well, there's, like, a guy that.
I wanted to say, like,
no,
before we talk.
Well, before we get into it.
Yeah, before we talk about this, how did we find. I want to know how you found out about Technopolice, because I can surely tell how I found out about Technopolice.
Well, I think I first saw it when you streamed it about 10 years ago or 5 years ago or how long it was.
I think
it was Justin TV streams.
Yeah, I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago because like I streamed anime on Justin TV and then everything archived over to Twitch. And that channel still exists, so those videos are still saved. And I don't think I'll get any complaints from Twitch about having saved anime stuff on there from 6 years ago. But
I don't know. Is it going back that long on there? That's surprising.
I feel like I streamed in like 2010, I believe. Possibly.
This was like around the time that the Cool Kids Club was starting, and like maybe a little earlier.
Yeah.
You started doing those streams.
Yeah, I did.
So that would have
been
about
2010. Yeah, I did the streams before I joined the Cool Kids Club podcast.
It's like the main basis for our. You know, the first few years, kind of like before Steve joined, it was always based on one of those.
Yeah. but I will say this, like, I found out about Technopolice from, I actually can pull up a link to this, but when I bought my first, like, Animerica article, it had the cover of Pris on it, and they had a interview with Toshimichi Suzuki in there. And Suzuki mentioned about how this was all inspired by something he did before called Technopolice. And, like, as soon as I, like, was reading about this, I was like, holy crap, I want to check this out. Because, like, I was so heavily engrossed in knowing everything about Bubblegum Crisis. So this is going back, like, 2006, 2007. And it was within I think after a week after reading that or looking into that, I went to my local Goodwill, like, down the road from where I lived out in Cary, North Carolina. And sitting in, like, in the 99-cent bin was, like, a beat-up copy that said Technopolice on it. And it looked pretty Japanesey, and I'm like, huh, I wonder if this is the same thing. And it turns out it is.
Yeah, you could tell from the character designs on the cover, I'm sure. The robots looked a lot similar to the ones in Bubblegum Crisis.
Yeah, there's a... I mean, basically, like, the story behind this... like, the way I can gather, because, like, there's been written articles on it on Sean O'Mara's blog called Zimmerit.moe, where basically, like, you know, Suzuki came up with this concept for Technopolice, and he wanted to make it into a show, but then after being in development for so many years, like, it just wound up, like, stuff just started happening where, like, it didn't pan out the way it wanted to, but they decided to just condense their story into, like, a 80-minute movie. And so then later, like, Suzuki got in touch with somebody from a, like, within, like, the Japanese, like, music industry or records or whatever. And that's kind of when the concept of Bubblegum Crisis started to form, especially when, like, it's being so influenced by American movies like Streets of Fire, Terminator, Aliens, Blade Runner, because those are really popular in Japan at the time. So, like, the people who worked on that in Studio Artmic were, like, all big fans of those movies. So that's kind of like, and so Bubblegum Crisis is sort of like the form that came out of Technopolice, which turned out to be a whole lot better, even though it kind of had the same fate where it didn't really complete what it was meant to do, like, story-wise to begin with. And, like, I know this is, like, a belated review of, like, everyone's talking about, oh, it's 30 years of Bubblegum Crisis. Well, you know what? Fuck that noise, because we're talking about Technopolice, the origin of Bubblegum Crisis that no one really knows about.
If they wanted to see something earlier, they could have seen you singing in the car on Twitter the Bubble Crisis songs.
Oh, I have... Wait, what? Oh, crap, yeah.
You don't remember
posting? Yeah. No, I was.
You're singing the Hurricane song.
I have to put that on the thing. I was like, oh, what kind of special can I do for Bubblegum Crisis? I can sing Konya while Hurricane, holding my cell phone, and not even really trying to sing it for like 45 seconds. And then I was like, yep, I'm done.
And then at the end, you're like, people at me because I'm doing this.
I was like, well, I see people. I got to stop this. Got to go.
Yeah.
It was so bad, I forgot that I did it.
You're blocking that from me, right?
Yep, even though Twitter will always remember it until, well, our Twitter may go away one day.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see how Techno Police starts. John, you were kind of already talking about that.
I was going to say, you're talking about the differences between the second half, and it was like, well, before they get the tank, all I remember from the first part was that there was these guys opening up a tank, and they're doing, like, these things to prove that they're well-protected, and then the robbers, they, like, bust through all the protection, and then with the contents of the bank.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's the first part is really, that really gets the movie rolling is.
Well, hang on, we're skipping ahead by 10 minutes or so. Because, like, basically the beginning.
Yeah, I guess the earlier part where there's, like, the guy shaving and JT was watching and he was like, why is he shaving when he doesn't have any hair?
Well, it was like,
JT got about 2 minutes into this thing and got to the techno song, and he's like, oh, I saw the opening theme. That's all I need to see. I'm done.
It's amazing
how. Because that's JT's attitude towards an anime. He's like opening all that matters.
Yeah, well, like, with freaking JT, he won't watch anything subtitled, and here it is, a dub. It's not a great one, but it's a dub. Uh-huh. And he can't make it 2 minutes in. It's like, I'm done. I'm going to watch Big Bang Theory.
He was, like, complaining that there was, like, 1 or 2 minutes before the cold open, you know, before he gets to the song. And he was like, what's this? I thought it was music. Because he only links to music in the chat all the time and Dragon Ball Z
only
music.
Dragon Ball Z stuff, yeah. No, but it starts out with, this bald-headed guy that looks like Lex Luthor, which winds up being the chief of the Techno Police. And all he's just like, this man might last 6 months. I'll get him a job working for Sentinel City. And then it transports into, I guess, El Paso, Japan or whatever. Or, I don't know.
Did you say it was Phoenix?
I think Sentinel City was part of Phoenix. I don't, like, there was a part on the map in the movie that said Phoenix on it. I don't know if Sentinel City place in Arizona or what, but it said Phoenix clearly on the map when they're trying to find the tank. And I'm like, John, did this happen, like, ever in your city?
It looks like a Neo-Tokyo cyberpunk setting.
Now, hold on, John. Now, this must have happened because this takes place in the 21st century of 2001. You must have been aware that tanks around in your city of Phoenix, in Sentinel City, in 2001. Do you recall?
I don't.
Oh. Well,
I was 8, but I would have remembered. I would have noticed. I was here.
Yeah. You were living in Arizona at the time, right? In 2001?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I was from, I was 87, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I was definitely here, and I didn't see any tanks or anything like this. No missiles, no military trying to shoot the tank and then stopping, and then the robots hitting or any of that stuff happened.
Well, I mean, there's no ocean or pier for the tank to jump out of to go inside an underground or underwater submarine, because there is no lakes in Arizona because it's the effing desert. You have to travel all the way to, like, past Mexico to get to the desert or to the ocean. So
yeah, maybe they got Phoenix mixed up with Salt Lake City or something.
Maybe they got this mixed up with. I guess it's near El Paso. Maybe like the Rio Grande, it became an ocean in 2001. I don't know. Or this version of 2001,
it did.
Probably, I don't know.
Like warming films or something. Maybe they hadn't even come up with that in 1982.
But
I think it was cooling was the thing back.
Yeah. Well. Oh, man, I'm thinking. Yeah, so anyway.
Phoenix cooled down and stopped being a desert, and that's what caused it to be. Who knows?
This is an alternative reality, kind of like maybe that recent X-Men movie with Logan, where like it's an alternative reality to. Oh wait, we're spoiling that movie. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
Right, I haven't. But I didn't they say in the chat like set in the future, created by Days of Future Past. I don't know if it was T.Y. who said that, but
I the best I took was that.
They know all this timeline stuff more than we do, because it's gotten pretty complicated because they keep changing it and there's like timelines and.
I think T.Y. said it best, where it's like it does its own thing, and that's about the best way to look at Logan, because it can't intertwine with those other X-Men movies, and it makes better sense that way.
Actually, I think that the X-Men movies, even though they have this meta like way of tying together, and that they're all connected, it's like you can watch any one of those movies, and it'll be entertaining on its own, I think. Yeah. Because I kind of think that all the X-Men movies have been like the highest consistent quality when you compare it to like the Spider-Man movies or whatever, where there's like a lot of variation.
The keyword,
and, like,
John, the keyword there is consistency. Like it's able to stay consistent with the story it wants to tell and the timeline that it's trying to be in. And it does better than like anything else Fox has made with their comic book movies or reboots or whatever.
Right. Or Fantastic Four. Did you even see that one?
Nope. I haven't seen any. The only Fantastic Four I saw was the Roger Corman film. That's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched the 2000s ones recently, and I don't know. I really get the hate for them, but, you know, the new one, it is really bad and not worth watching.
What you and Daft talked about, like, what, a year and a half ago? So.
Right, when it came out, and that's probably the one of those fantastic.
Yeah.
Stick for, or at least at Fox, who knows, maybe Marvel will make one eventually. And they run out of other characters.
But you want to get back into talking about this?
Yeah, Technopolis. Yeah.
Well, what was interesting.
So, the plot is like 1 minute
in. Alright, so I was going to say that, like, so Ken gets drafted to the Technopolis or transferred, and all his buddies are like, yeah, man, you're going to get killed in Sentinel City, and crime rate's high, and Ken's just like, oh, don't worry about it, I'll be fine, and then drives off in his buggy. And then we get the cold opening, and then we find out that Sentinel City, in the future, you spell it with a C instead of an S.
Yeah, I don't know if that was supposed to be like a combination of Century and Sentinel or something.
I would have thought that
they
would
just,
be too.
They just know that it's pronounced like that with the hard C or whatever you call it.
I honestly, like, I thought about it. I was like, oh, it's just the English. I'm like, well, wait a sec. Maybe they mean turn, like, Century. Because the 21C means Century. So it would be like Centennial.
Maybe they're trying to say, like, Centennial or something, and they just, like, misspelled it. Or.
Well, that could be it, too. That's probably a strong it. But, okay. So we got to talk about, like, the first plot or the first part of this movie, where they introduce, like, they have a big camera crew and everyone's outside looking at this bank that they built out of taxpayer money, I'm sure. Except it's a bank that is a crystal triangle or a pyramid in the middle of a city block. And they're like, it's the safest bank in the world. Let's think about that.
A crystal triangle to pay homage to your favorite anime movie.
No. See, Crystal Triangle got their idea from watching this piece of shit. So, John, let's think about it. Like, what would be the advantages of having a bulletproof, clear, crystal bank pyramid in the middle of your city? What advantages are there other than it being bulletproof? Let's think about it.
Yeah, there is not an advantage. And
exactly.
They're stupid in that they're even going to have stuff in the banks, you know, and that it's not all digital by that point, you know, which. That's kind of like what the central bankers want to do. You know, like what happened in India recently where they confiscated all the banknotes and everything. You know,
I didn't hear about this.
That's what everybody's moving toward. And all they want you to use credit cards. You know, the credit companies over there funded this. You know, they told the politicians to do this so that they would stop using cash and not paying these fees to the credit card companies. Wanted to do it too so that they could tax them, you know? So it's like, this is a center supposedly, although I guess it's set in 2001. But, you know, that's not the future that we're really moving towards in terms of, like, the direction of and money and everything.
But it doesn't.
I guess you can't steal a credit card database or something for a heist movie, like, and run off with it in a tank.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, like, honestly, like, you can't really have currency. Like, you can't run currency through cards. There has to be paper currency, like a physical form of it. It can't all be digital. So,
yeah,
I don't know how long this is going to last. Yeah, it is stupid.
But that's their way of trying to control exaction, because the politicians don't like that you can avoid paying sales tax if you make it under the table trend, you know. And it also gets in the way of gun control and stuff, because people can just sell guns at flea market with cash or whatever, and then
yeah,
and they're like, oh, it's a loophole. So you know,
well,
there are all the different reasons
trade.
That politicians
I'm
want.
I'm trading you my gun, my car, my house for cash if you have it in cash, and no questions asked. Like, that's been going on forever. So, no, we need to
that's
have
that. That's how humans became civilized, is that they're able to divide labor and exchange, you know. But when it becomes just a meaningless set of digits, you know, mm-hmm. people can just multiply it or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And like, you look at the failure of Bitcoin, where people just steal. I mean, there is a possibility of heist in the digital world, I guess, you know. Like, the biggest Bitcoin site turned out to be a scam, and they just stole everybody's money.
I mean, when you're talking about heists in the digital world, I can only think of the plot from Office Space, where they have that computer virus that's like, we only take fractions of a penny, it's just going to be drawn out over several, you know, years. And then, like, overnight, they make, like, $3 million, and they're like, I must have effed up the code real bad. We got to return this money back. Yeah, Office Space is like, if you want to, like, try to digitize that and try to pull
that's
a
real futuristic
that's like,
movie.
That's about as future, more futuristic than Technopolis. No, but okay.
Mike Judge is the prophet of accuracy. Office Space. There's comedy movies, but they're about modern society.
Yeah. Well, so going back to Clear Crystal or Crystal Clear Pyramid Bank. So I just like how they designed this, where it's like you see the vault, which is just a cylinder rotating around, so you know where the door is at, and there's no privacy there on, like, how you're going to transaction stuff. And let's say, John, that, you know, you're the CEO or bank manager that night, and you want to bang your secretary, but you want to do it in the privacy of your own office. Well, are you allowed to have curtains in your office so no one can see you banging your hot secretary? There's also that to consider when you're in the Crystal Clear Pyramid Bank. So, but it's just, yeah, that was like one. I thought about it this morning. I'm like, man, what if, like, I mean, you know, this office, like, you know, offices and office, you know, spaces, they always have affairs going on or people having sex in office desks. You know, and it's like, how are you going to do that without the public knowing? So, like, no, I don't understand how that would happen.
If it's so impenetrable, how are people going to get in and out? Is it like there's an invisible door? Like, how are you going to find the door?
Yeah. They didn't say how people got in or out either. They just kind of showed it. And what was also stupid was the fact that they had, okay, John.
They're designing it.
Well, okay, no, they had, John, they had all those people around, like, within a good number of feet near the bank. And they had, like, three officers or whatever pull their guns out and fire at it and bullets ricocheting off of that son of a bitch. Did they ever think that the bullets would ricochet and hit the pedestrians in the street looking on to see how awe and amazed this awesomely great bank is without taking a bullet in the forehead? They didn't think about that either. I'm like,
they didn't think about a lot of things.
No. In a way, this is like the Neotopia of what was that movie, Idiocracy or whatever, where it's like, people are that retarded where they make stuff and they don't have any common sense to it. So this is kind of like that; those two worlds coming into one into an animated form. And that's Technopolis.
Yeah, it's a mix of Office Space and Idiocracy, except can't get anything like those.
it's funny how, like, everything just relates back to Technopolis, all these great movies we're mentioning. Let's see how long we can keep this up. You know what else is another great movie about a self-aware piece of military machinery that goes haywire? That movie Stealth, with the stealth fighter plane goes self-aware and like they have like whoever has to stop it. You ever seen movie Stealth?
No, is this recent or
it's like 10 years old? But like that's another one where like they put an AI into a stealth bomber, and it becomes self-aware and like pirates music, and then it goes off to like destroy like Iraqi armies or whatever, and then like yeah, like whoever the actors were to try to stop this thing, it's a piece of crap. But I mean, that's another fine cinematic movie that came from Technopolice.
Yeah, or maybe they got the episode of Beavis and Butthead where they're piloting a drone from this because some idiots piloting something that's a piece of military equipment. Let's do a Beavis and Butthead on that. Basically, Mike Judge saw this movie and he was inspired to make everything he made sense, except for how is this going to explain King of the Hill? We'll find a way. Maybe it's that retarded guy is or something.
I was going to say, maybe there's another... No, John, we got to find Mike Judge's secret anime stash and figure out like what anime he saw to inspire King of the Hill. But I just think of, like, you say Beavis and Butthead, and I'm just thinking of, like, Beavis and Butthead, like, behind a computer, just going, whoa, check out that building blowing up. Fire.
He was probably watching the 1923 when he made King of the Hill because of that Hank Hill voice that one of those characters had.
I'm just thinking, like, damn it, Beavis, get a view of that chick's boobs inside the chink. And it's like, ow, buddy. Oh, sorry! God, Technopolice is the greatest anime ever. Oh, man. Oh, you know what other great movie that came from this? Beavis and Butthead Do America. That is actually a fine movie.
Concept from the tank chase.
Yeah, well, they have like a self-destruct something. I don't know, man. I didn't have anything for that. Anyways. Yeah, so what takes down Pyramid Bank is the fact that this military-sized cannon shows up and just blows it to smithereens. No one's heard out of this, obviously. And they heist it on, like, some big, trailer or whatever, and then roll it downtown. And while this is happening, like, Ken picked up one of the other Technopolice officers from, like, a gas station or a maintenance shop. And he picks him up and, I think it's, like, Kozaki or whatever. And they're basically like, oh, wow, I can't believe the Technopolice hired us. Who would have thought of that or whatever? I can't even understand.
Oh, is this the character where it was like they thought his name sounded like a girl's name or something?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's him.
Kozaki Kororu or something.
The one that was
arguing. I can't even tell what they were saying because of the accents. Yeah.
The one that was arguing, like, getting a cola from, like, a female, like, like, Coke machine or whatever. That sounded like it wanted to suck its dick or something. It's like, so in the future, if you don't have money and you want a Coke, you just let the robot Coke machine suck you off? I mean, it is the future century.
That's what they have to do.
2001.
It's a Coke machine sexualophobic for you to say
no.
That.
John, here it is. There is no currency in 2001. It's all based on semen. So that's not a real bank. It's a sperm bank. Because that's natural currency. You know what the fine movie I can think of where they use sperm from? I don't know. Actually, I really don't know, but I'm pretty sure it might be out there.
I wouldn't doubt it. We'll have to ask CG. He'll know.
It's probably in some sci-fi gay porno out there. I don't know. No, but so.
Not about it when he was looking up the purpose of sperm.
How does it work? I don't understand. Anyways, that's a whole other quote for another topic. No, but Ken.
People are like, "What is CG's deal? Why do you bring him up so much?"
I never want to talk to. No, so back on the movie, like basically, like they drive by the tank, and, like Ken and his like yellow buggy or whatever. And the tank fires, like, onto the police that's, like, coming after them. And it caused, like, the car to, like, you know, get almost half destroyed, and then Ken is just like, "Dad Tucker hit my car. I'll show him a lesson. Tell you what." And then, and what was it? And then freaking Lex Luthor Chief shows up, and they have a conversation going like 90 miles an hour on the road. And then Ken jumps from his buggy into the Techno Police car. And then Kozaki is the one that wrecks it at an on-ramp thing. And then Ken's just like, and then all the Chief said is like, "Shut up. I'll buy you a new toy later. Shut up."
Yeah. One of the many times where they're just like, "Shut up," in this movie.
The future of the 21st century is also very rude. There is no saying, no one has ever said please in this entire movie, did they, John? It wasn't a please shut up, please help me. It was like, "You get here and help me, woman." But that's when we get introduced to the Techno Police, or the robots, and the blue one shows up, and... Okay, I'm still recording. Okay, cool. That's something happened. So yeah, so the blue one shows up, and it just wreaks havoc to the cannon truck or whatever. But then the guys running it, like, jump off of a bridge overpass and jump on another vehicle, and they're perfectly fine. Which was also the same guys that 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later, like, were in that tank on a cargo transport flying to Japan, where that's when they decide to hijack it, which doesn't make any sense. And like, I'm just checking notes because then before all that, like, basically there's like this secret committee of like evil people, and I didn't pay attention to this scene at all because of I just didn't care about what their diabolical plan was. But it was some guy with like a pipe and a handlebar mustache that I guess was in charge of the whole thing. I don't even know.
I bet these guys are supposed to be like the recurring villains in the show, and they just like care even though they don't really need to be there.
Yeah, maybe like
I guess you need a villain.
Maybe Toshi Michi Suzuki was like trying to like, okay, I want to have like a Mazinger Z style like evil thing where they have like different people that like are in charge of like the evil organization for Dr. Hell, but because we have to put everything in this movie, we're just gonna have to chuck all that aside and leave the guy with the pipe and the mustache in charge.
It seemed like I had a lot of plans that they didn't go through with, because there was like, at least it says this on the Wikipedia article, events that they made that were not actually featured in the movie, of like characters that were planned for the show. And I don't know how many episodes they had scripted or whatever to have it that far planned out, but you know, that's... It seems like they must have come up with at least, you know, 13 episodes or something. Or I guess this is the equivalent of merging like 4 episodes of the show. Or maybe they just extended one chase scene episode to make it twice as long, and that explains why
it
the
might
tank
have been
thing
like maybe like a 2 or 3 episode chase scene thing, and they just kind of extended it out that way. I mean, also like you got to remember like there was like figures and models made for this Techno Police show, I guess. So they must have already had those out.
Yeah, but so when by the
time, by the time this movie came out, because like
they look pretty good.
Yeah, they actually did look pretty cool. But like, this is probably one of those things. Well, definitely one of those things where like the toy company was sponsoring this, and then stuff happened where like they couldn't make it, but they decided to turn it into a film. But they still had the toy set up ready to sell. So they figure like, well,
so I guess if the film did well, they would have gone ahead and raised enough of the revenue from that to. Show, but I guess in Japan, then they decide and put pop songs into it, and then people will see it because it'll have idols or, you know, and then it came out with Bubblegum Sun. I guess it isn't really enough to be produced either, but at least it made it.
Do you want to, like, try resetting the router and then calling me back?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I'll just edit this out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
Sweet. Hopefully that sounds better.
Maybe.
All right. So good. Yeah. I just kept it recording, so I'll just cut out the blankness.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I was going to mention how they, like, they go set up, they get to know the robots better, and then they got Ken that's, like, showing his robot how to arrest things. But his idea of arresting, like, items or people is to throw his handcuffs at people, and that's not proper police procedure to do that. But then the robot's just like, oh, I can do the same thing you can do, Ken. And then, like, he shoots his handcuff at, like, inside of a wall. And he's able to, like, hook onto the freaking nerd, like, on the other side of the wall and pulls him through the wall. And then, there was the one where, like, the big guy was, like, trying to teach his robot how to do, like, a puzzle or something. And his robot, like, with his big clampy hands, like, couldn't figure it out. And then you've got the hexadecimal robot with the girl, Eleanor, and then, the robot keeps beating her in chess. And Eleanor's like, if you want to win the heart of a lady, you got to learn how to lose. And the robot's like, win the heart of a lady? I do not understand. Okay. I'm just looking through these notes. Okay, so we go into the next plan of the evil people that we're mentioning about was them to hijack some military tank. So this doesn't make any sense, John, because like they already have the people, which was the same people that started the bank heist, inside this tank, which the tank is housed inside of a cargo plane, which is flying above Sentinel City. I don't know how, but their idea, I guess, is to, like, take the plane because it's quicker to drive it instead of, like, on the ground or whatever, even though they're inside of it somehow.
And I guess they can avoid the traffic or something, I don't know.
Yeah, or, like, oh, the police don't have planes, so we can easily get past them, like, through this military convoy or whatever. But then, like, they activate the tank. And then they got the cannon of the tank pointing at the pilots like, oh, don't you guys try anything funny. I'm like, this is freaking ridiculous.
The whole thing is, yeah.
Yeah, but then and then eventually, like, the military police choppers, like, are onto them. So then the tank just drives out of the cockpit. And it's free falling to the ground. They got the two pilots still, like, holding on to it for dear life. And then the tank uses a parachute, then it winds up in the city and starts wreaking havoc.
Yeah, that cracks me up. Like, this little flimsy piece of cloth above them is going to hold this tank up from making it stop falling.
I don't know how heavy-duty those parachutes are, but...
Yeah.
It only mildly slows them down, and then... So then Ken and them get the word to go out and, to go get the tank. And then they couldn't get a hold of the big guy, except the big guy is a really effeminate person because he likes his rose garden, and he's, like, working on his rose garden. And so
the tank goes through.
Yeah, the tank goes through his house and destroys his rose garden. He's just like, oh, you ruined my roses! And then there's lines like, Ken, the tank is moving downtown! Oh man.
Yeah, that character's acting is terrible.
Oh yeah. I'm just reading through notes. But so eventually, like, they corner the tank and get a hold of it. And by this time the military is already part of it. And they somehow get a hold of the... Okay, so you think that's the end of it because they able to stop the tank and they get the hijackers out of there and arrest them. And then then that's when Eleanor was inside the tank is when the tank becomes self-aware and this is when it becomes Maddox. So then the tank starts running amok. And I just know, I like how their police car that houses, like, the robots and the people inside of it, it's like the retard short bus for robots. Because, like, when they're going downtown to track the tank, you've got the big, the heavier one, the big bulky one, like the green one that's on the back, but it looks like he's in a wheelchair riding in the back, being guarded by the short bus.
That's another thing that this show inspired, is apparently Ghost and the short bus and his wheelchair. It's all comes back to this.
I just feel like a Wesley Willis song is coming out, like, "We Tired Robot Bus."
There's the short bus theme song that.
Yeah, no, that was the retard.
Some trolls
bus.
Made.
Yeah.
Short bus, meet the short bus. They're a modern retard family.
I can all I can think of is like Ken and his gang. They were going after that tank that went wild. The tank was running amok. The tank was going 950 miles per hour. The robots were chasing it. They're going super fast. Retard robot bus. I just need that music in the like dun 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 dun. Rock on London. Rock on Sentinel City. Female Coca-Cola machines. Insert your sperm. I'm Wesley Willis. My rhymes are the dopest shit ever. Rest in peace.
This is the musical special of anime of yesteryear.
Every episode's a musical special, or I try to make it.
That's
be.
True.
Yeah. Name an episode I have not, in the past half a year, that I haven't gone through without singing a song of some sort.
That's
actually,
true.
There's probably several of them, but then I was like, I'm going to sing my way and BS my way through this whole podcast thing. This takes no skill, ever. Oh, man. But, I don't know, it's just kind of like, it sort of becomes interesting because then it's just them taking it, and I kind of didn't really care about notes at this point. I just know at one point, like, they get the tank gets stuck inside of, like, a department store. And for some, and then of course, like the blue robot, they call it Blade or whatever. Yeah, Blade. It becomes Spider-Man because he uses his handcuff whip or whatever to claw onto a pole on the other side of this building, and they swing from one building to the other. And then like the tank's upside down, so like everybody's there to try to get Eleanor out. And then the tank like winds up becoming self-aware again. So then there's this whole other plot point where. The tank self-destructs when it runs out of ammunition. Which, I guess, might be a good idea, but it's sort of suicidal at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the reason is behind that.
Well, it's like, okay, you have this expensive, like, you know, tank. You don't want anybody to get a hold of it, especially if you run out of bullets in a battle and you don't want it to get captured, so you just blow it up. But you kind of screw the operator in there, too, because, like, if there's an operator in there, then, it's like, what was the point of being in there in the first place, other than just, like, you supervising the tank that you're not going to, like, live out of? I guess that's in a sense. This also kind of reminds me of that episode 5, or Moonlight Rambler, Bubblegum Crisis, where they have, like, the DD, like, battle mover robot that also becomes self-aware because, like, apparently if the pilot is found, like, dead or unconscious, like, it winds up, like, connecting to the blood of, like, the pilot, or it had to be, like, a boomer, or I guess the sex ward had to work. So it becomes self-aware and fights on its own. So this kind of, like, I can actually see where, like, that plot point in Moonlight Rambler was taken from this in some way. So there, like, there's bits of this of Technopolice that does make it into Bubblegum Crisis, like, here and there. Which I like, now thinking about it, it's like, oh, that's actually really interesting.
Yeah, you can see they took some inspiration from this, even though it's, you know, not as good as Bubblegum Crisis. It does have some of the, you know, seeds of it, of what they would develop.
Yeah, there's this, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, you know, the pyramid, like, the glass pyramid bank, you know, there's a giant pyramid in the center of Mega Tokyo for the Genom Tower, so, like, you can take inspiration from that, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, you've got robots in the police force, but then also you know, the robots wound up being essential to, like, the people that, you know, were wearing the power suits, which was the Night Sabers. It's just a lot of, like, you know, like, yeah, it does, on the surface, it doesn't really look like there's a lot of cool concepts from Technopolis, and it's really dumb and cheesy. But, you know, when you compare it to Bubblegum Crisis, like, yeah, you can see bits and pieces of that coming in there. But eventually, like...
Was this,
go ahead.
Made by the same company that ended up making Bubblegum Crisis, or...
Well, okay, let's check Wiki real quick, or I don't even have Wiki pulled up. Well, essentially, like, Bubblegum Crisis was a joint between... This was actually done between, like, Studio Neway and, I think, and Toho. And Bubblegum Crisis was done more independently or in a smaller studio, like Artmic, Umix, and AIC. But, like, Suzuki, like, I guess was working with Neway or Toho and then focused on making stuff for Studio Artmic. Which is why they had, like, you know, he brought in those concepts from Technopolis over to Bubblegum Crisis.
So no.
Oh my god.
All about worked on it, the production directors and the art director.
I mean, I don't know what else we can do.
Well, I don't know. I guess it again, but I guess.
Oh, now, okay. Well, now it's trying to continually connect and. He might have to restart his computer. He already restarted his router. I don't know what more he can freaking do. Alright, now it's... Oh, now it finally... Yeah. Now it finally freaking works.
I decided to just leave the Wi-Fi network on my phone and use the Slack app.
Oh.
It should work better through that than trying to use my Wi-Fi network.
Okay. So you're using your phone, basically.
Yes.
Alright. I guess you just stick with your phone from now on.
Yeah, we've had this problem before with Slack, with my Wi-Fi.
All right. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this would
Does
be...
it have, like, lower quality because it's going through a phone network? I mean, can you even tell the difference?
It does sound different. It kind of sound lower, but at least you're not cutting in and out in your sentences, and that's easy for me to work with. You sound about the same, I guess. I'm not even worried about it.
It's not like our podcast is particularly hi-fi. I don't even have, like, a microphone. I just use a pair of headphones.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what all you need for tune radio.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been talking about wanting to get a sound mixer for our podcast for a few years, but it's just like this works out until like we have to use it, and I don't feel like we have to use it.
It's not like our sponsors complain like, hey, could you make your podcast a little more professional? Like, they don't really seem to care about the constant audio problems and calls cutting in and out. And, I mean, I guess that's just the cost of doing a podcast online because internet companies have so many problems.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not really our fault that the connection's so bad.
I mean, if we weren't 2,000, I mean, if we weren't 2,500 or about 3,000 miles away from each other doing this, then, like, yeah, we'd be in the same room with sharing one mic and talking about the same thing, which would be great, which is what real people do, other podcasts. I mean, I guess, like, Anime World Order, they're in different areas in, like, Florida, and I think one of the hosts is in, like, Washington, D.C. or something or near that, but they have all great internet enough to make Anime World Order work. So.
Maybe we just have particularly bad internet connection companies. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's just better for me just to host the call from now on.
Well, you couldn't even get on when you were trying to host it. It kept saying like that you're not. Well, I don't know. It wouldn't do anything. I could click it and it would just spin. When I was hosting it, we could get it working, but it was like it would cut in and out, so that didn't really work out that well either.
Whatevs. man. Alright, so getting back onto this movie, we're about done.
Yeah.
Even though the recording's been going on for over an hour. The recording's been going on as long as it's almost this movie. That's retarded. Like, there's... Shouldn't be this much substance in Technopolis, but there is.
Yeah, so what was happening towards the end was after the girl got in there and the tank started to have that problem where it was going to blow up on its own if it used too many missiles. Then they had, like, I don't know, the Japanese Defense Forces or something got called in, and they were going to destroy the tank, but then the local police were like, no, we've got to handle it because there's a girl in there, and then eventually they got the military to back down, and then they were able to rescue her.
Well,
it all ended up...
Hang on. We're missing the essential part of the second part of the plot, where the tank's mission is to go underwater off the pier and go inside of a submarine, something out of like Thunderbird 5 or something like that. It was like a really like crazy looking like submarine design from like the 70s or something. I felt like it was like a Thunderbird design reject or something that didn't make it to the final cut or whatever. But so anyways, the tank is inside of the submarine, and Ken meets up with the guy that's the mastermind behind all of this, which is the guy with the pipe and the handlebar mustache. And so, this is when it gets to more stupidity, where they're inside the tank and there's all these guys with guns in there with bayonets attached to their AKs. And Ken's like, no, don't fire, because if you fire, the tank will take you as an enemy and it'll shoot you guys and we're all going to explode or whatever. I go back to when I said, like, when Ken was throwing the handcuffs too, or like this is like cop arresting people thing. So like he sees the main villain guy there show up with his pipe and he's like, well, I'm taking you in, and he throws the handcuffs. But John, the handcuffs don't land on his hands. He goes to handcuff his pipe and it knocks it out of his mouth, and I'm like, way to royally F that up. So really, no, John.
Police work.
John, Ken is on the ball. His hunches were correct, because it wasn't the guy that was the villain. It was the pipe itself. The pipe was the real mastermind behind all of this. The pipe was controlling the man who smokes him, therefore making the pipe the real villain of this movie. So Ken, he is a good cop overall that knows and trusts his instincts.
It has a secret anti-smoking message to the film.
Oh, gosh. No, yeah. Hey, speaking of anti-smoking messages, like, I realized, like, I said on the chat where, like, I didn't see...
Logan?
Yeah, Logan didn't smoke in the entire time of that movie. And I thought he would be, even though he took cigars out of a jar in one scene. I was like, oh, he's probably going to smoke, and they didn't have it, so... But... Anyways, this is not the Logan podcast. That may come later.
Yeah, we could do a review at some point, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
But, anyways, the guys with the guns decide to try to bayonet and attack Ken with their bayonet guns instead of freaking shooting at him. So, and all of them do the same thing. They don't like, wait a sec, what if I just shoot this guy and get this over with, because my orders are to kill him. Because using bayonets at the end of an AK is not doing the job. And then, the mustache guy fired his gun, which then the tank responded to that by then blowing up the submarine. So then they're back at square one, floating to the surface. And then the tank starts shooting some random ship out in the middle of the bay, minding its own business. And at this time, like, Ken's able to get the latch open on the tank, get Eleanor out of there, they swim to safety, the tank blows up, they get rescued, the freaking end. But, I also found it funny that, like, when they're being rescued, like, in the water and they're raising their arms, it looks like the robot was doing the raise the roof with his arms. I thought that was hysterical. It's like... The roof is on fire. Raise the roof. Ken, this party's hot. It's blowing up. We gotta have a party, Ken. I'm ready to get my freak on.
This guy invented the robot.
There you have it. Technopolice invented the robot dance. Even though I think it came up before. Anyways, then it's not important.
No, this anime is the origin of everything.
It is! The Technopolice is actually something incredibly special. that now the more we talk about it, the more very unique it is. And you know what? I can't think of anything else that I wanted to say, even though I got like all these paragraphs. There was some like other, there was one, do you remember that visual that they had where like they were going after the tank? And like there was that like weird multicolored background spiral thing behind it? Like what the hell was up with that?
What part of the movie was this in?
I think it was before they get to the pier.
Hmm. Near the end of it?
Yeah, it was like, it was towards the end, I think.
Yeah, I missed that.
Okay.
Or it didn't leave much of an impression.
I mean, you know, you didn't really miss much. That was just something I looked at my notes. I'm like, oh yeah, there was some multicolored background that I don't know what purpose it served.
I guess this movie didn't use much color in a lot of scenes because the Wikipedia article was talking about how some of the cells are monochromatic or something where it looks all blue or all red. So maybe they use all their background. All their money on that one background.
Might have been. So yeah, that's Technopolice, the greatest. Well, okay, it's not the greatest anime movie, but it inspired some really great things after that, which was basically Bubblegum Crisis. And I don't think of any other podcast that has gone out of their way to review Technopolice. I know Anime World Order was like
the first.
They mentioned it. They would be like, "Oh, it's a bad movie. Like none of you guys should see it." But I already have seen Technopolice. I'm aware of Technopolice, which is why we're reviewing it. Because, John, we ain't a bunch of pussies like the AWO podcast. I'm just saying. Straight up.
We've called them out now.
Yeah, they did a challenge where they wanted people to review iCity. I initiated a challenge to the Anime World Order podcast. If and when any of them would ever listen to this episode, but that's neither here or there, for them to review Technopolice 21C. I'll probably just like challenge them on Twitter when this comes out, and be like, I challenge you guys to do a better review, which that means you're just going to do a better review, but at least you guys did it. So there.
Maybe we have to review iCity in order for them to do Technopolice, and it'd be like a...
That might be the constituent, but iCity looked pretty cool from what I skimmed through, and like, apparently I've got like two different fan subs of this on my computer, on my hard drive, and I didn't even realize it. I was like, oh, iCity, I heard of this, alright, I'll download it, and...
Is the Right Stuff version dubbed,
think,
or is it subbed?
I think one of them is the Right Stuff version, possibly. Yeah, Right Stuff did put it out.
We should get
but...
right Stuff to send us some old VHS copy of it.
You know, that ain't a half bad idea. I think that could work.
They probably got a bunch of unsold copies in their warehouse. They'd be like, hey, we're going to make this anime great again here.
It's probably propping up like... It's probably propping up an old IBM computer from like 2002 or something. Like,
they'll probably just be like, no, review all that other stuff we sent you first.
Here's my constituent Right Stuff. We'll review all that other stuff when we get iCity.
Now we've made a deal with two different companies. We have to review this for this person and this for that person.
You realize how big my balls are feeling right now, John? My balls are huge. Making all these threats, throwing out to Right Stuff and Anime World Order. You think I'm scared? Heck no. Because nothing's going to happen from it.
Because it's not going to happen.
Exactly. I'm not worried about nothing that's not going to happen. I think the chance of something happening would probably be Anime World Order reviewing Technopolice because I made a call out to them on this podcast. But that's about it.
They probably were already planning on it and their review is going to come out before ours.
Probably so. And I'll get some 5-minute rant from Daryl Surratt on there. It's like, oh, that motherfucker Dustin from Anime World Order think he could just call us out on our shit. F him, man. Let me tell you something. Going on this cocaine fuel rant for 20 minutes. I do have to thank Anime World Order because they did mention us in a positive light as like one of these podcasts that cover old anime that are still around doing the same stuff. He called us an anime nostalgia podcast. Like, yeah, we're the only two podcasts that still cover old stuff. And while the rest of them cover anything in the past season, and who cares about them?
He probably also mentioned us when you did that rant about Initial V.
No, I haven't heard anything. I don't know, man. He mentioned something in an episode after that, but it was like he mentioned something of a 90-minute rebuttal. Uh-huh. And I wasn't sure if it was us, because I know I didn't talk about Initial D for 90 minutes. Now, could I and rant about it? Podcast. Oh, hell yes. But that wasn't me.
The whole thing was not about Initial D, because we had other things we talked about during that episode, too.
Yeah, I just know that, like, as soon as I put up that episode, 2 minutes later, Daryl's, the only comment from Daryl on our show was, like, Initial D still sucks or sucks ass or whatever. And I'm like, I know you didn't listen to a minute of this. You just look at the time of we post, and he's like, they must have ran about Initial D the whole time. Oh, F that podcast.
Like, I can't stand to listen to a podcast about Initial D. I hate it too much. It's going to trigger me.
What doesn't trigger them? I don't know, man. But in all good fun and seriousness, I do thank Anime World Order for mentioning us in their last episode as one of the couple of podcasts out there that cover old anime stuff. And kind of mostly stick to that, even though, like, you know, shoot, Marvel movies are coming out. We got to talk about that. We do it every year because
yes.
We have to. But we do add anime in
there. For a while,
there.
We did those new anime things with Daft, but that hasn't happened in quite a while. Yeah. It's probably for the best.
I think he's like, kind of given up on that. I mean, the only newer thing I talked about was Bakuan from the motorcycle anime from last season, and I gave up after five episodes.
That must have been about a year ago now. Or something.
Yeah, it's been a year. And
you haven't seen any other new anime since then? Huh?
Nope.
I guess, you know, like, the best stuff that's coming out is going to air on Toonami in a lot of cases. Like JoJo's, you're getting the chance to see part two there now that you saw part one fan subbed a few years ago.
Yeah, and I'm highly enjoying JoJo's. Like, I'm enjoying it. And not that the new arc of One Piece is going on, since they got out of Thriller Bark, like,
oh, yeah.
I was kind of skimming through that like yesterday at church on my iPad when I was had to go there and run sound, and actually I was running video, but like I was kind of just skimming through like some of the plot, and like it's probably likely going to take 5-ish years before we get to the time skip in One Piece, based on maybe 5 to 6
Is that
years.
True? Wow.
Yes,
they've already gotten to it in the DVDs, but I don't know. How far behind Toonami is of that? Because yeah, they do have. There's like several arcs after this. There's the Amazon thing.
Okay, well we have like another. We have this one where the Foxy Pirates come back, which I haven't seen yet, but I will sometime this week.
It's and then there's a short arc.
And then there's a and then there's another arc, and then it goes to the Amazon Lily arc, and then there's another arc where Luffy goes to find his brother Ace, and then it's the time skip, is the way I understand it.
Right, and the Ace arc is very long, and
it's like 70-some episodes or something.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil you on it too much, but the thing about it is it's like the main crew is not there other than Luffy, so it's
yeah,
it feels weird those episodes, and they go on for a long time.
It seems like there's like 2 years before everyone gets reunited again or something, where it's just mostly going to be Luffy.
Right, because there's like a really big battle, and for some reason it's just Luffy there and then a bunch of other pirates from other crews, and it's...
Yeah, it's him breaking into like a marine prison to get Ace out, is the way I read it.
Yeah, and they bring back some old characters. I don't know if you saw much of the first 200 episodes that Toonami skipped.
Not hardly ever. I saw the one where they introduced Usopp. Yeah, that Django guy or whatever that was, like, taking care of the sick girl. Like, that was the only ones I saw from the 4Kids dub.
Yeah, well, a lot of those characters are going to come back, like the Buggy the Clown.
Okay.
He's, like, this weird clown that, like, splits his body up into pieces. And he's in the prison arc and onward from there a lot, so...
Okay.
He was in episode 5 or something, like, one of the really early characters.
Oh, wow.
He's kind of like like Mr. Satan or something, where he's like the comic relief character that takes credit for what other people do. Because every Shonen Jump show has to have one of those.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to be Dragon Ball. All these creators saw that when they were a kid, and then they were like, hey, I want to create something like this. I'm going to have some of the same kind of characters, and same kind of fights, and, you know, it's all very inspired by that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to be our Technopolice review, and
yeah, I feel pretty... Dragon Ball's not nearly as influential as Technopolice.
Do what?
Dragon Ball's not nearly as influential as Technopolice, though.
Of course not. Because look at, like, Toriyama only copied from Toriyama to make Dragon Ball. Well, and some other stuff, so, I mean...
The Chinese mythology.
That too, A Journey to the West. That's kind of a big one. That yeah. has that has a little bit more precedence, I think, than Technopolice.
I'm not sure about that.
All right, man. We're going to move on to our favorite segment, and that's closing remarks, or political uncorrectness closing remarks, or however much of politics we want to talk about.
See if we can anger people.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't really have much to say on it other than, like, I mean, there was some other stuff that, like, I wanted to mention.
Do we have to disavow Milo now?
I never invalid Milo to begin with. I'm just like, hey, the guy has some pretty good ideas I happen to agree with, not everything. Uh-huh. And then he said the thing about, like, supporting pedophilia, which apparently that's, like, the big, or still big moral no-no or whatever. And here, you know, this is something I thought about the other day. Because, like, you know, for the longest time, like, we've always condemned... Well, we've always kind of put homosexuality and pedophilia in the same category. And now it's kind of like... Now the two are, like, trying to be as separate as possible. But, you know, think about how people treated homosexuality and not wanting to get, you know, gay marriage legalized or whatever. And here we are now in this era where we have, you know, legalized gay marriage. Like, how long do you think it'll be before we have people going up there wanting to protest the rights for pedophilia, or people who are pedophiles and pedophilia and child molesters? And
the whole thing is he thinks it's like a cult of personality around the guy where some people are defending him and saying, like, oh, he's being persecuted just because of his sexuality. And, you know, it's a question of now, is it going to be like even conservatives are going to be doing that sort of thing where they're like, oh, you can't criticize anyone for their sexuality, even if there are innocent victims, like children involved. And in this case, it's like Milo himself was even a victim of it, but he like internalized the lessons incorrectly of what he was going through. And he didn't think, well, maybe this is a little messed up. Instead, he's just like, well, I guess this is just normal. I guess I'm just going to continue to have sex with men. And I guess I'm going to continue to just sit by and watch when there's pedophilia going on. And, like, because they found some tape of him talking about he went to some party in Hollywood or something.
Yeah.
There were all these young boys and stuff, and he didn't seem like he was going to be saying, like, who these people were or calling them out or anything. He was just kind of like, well, I guess this is the new normal, and, you know, I'm going to talk about my black boyfriend all the time and that sort of thing, and I'm not going to be concerned about pedophilia. So people are saying, well, look at this guy. He's, you know, he was acting like he's this great conservative hero, and he's invited to CPAC. And then they come out with all these remarks because they dug through everything he ever said, trying to destroy him. And, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is messed up, the stuff he said. But it's kind of like because of his past that he got that, I don't know, inclination or mm-hmm. or whatever. And he was saying this is like a common thing in the gay community that 13-year-old boys have sex with older men or something. I don't know if that's true or not because I'm not gay, but, you know, if it is true, you know, maybe him drawing attention to it is like spreading awareness about a problem, but he didn't really seem to consider it to be a problem. So it's...
Yeah. Here's my thing. It's like, I remember my old youth pastor telling me, like, you know, he said, give it 10 years or so and, you know, gay marriage in America will be legalized. And I looked at him like he was crazy. I'm like, nah, dude, like, what are you talking about? And
what year was this?
This is about 2003, 2004 when I heard him say this. Because he was just like, I'm telling you, man, it's going to happen. I'm just like, what? Man, you crazy, Steve. Different Steve. I know too many Steves. So now like we're kind of seeing this for like, you know, we got the whole LGBT movement happening. But now they're all like, oh, pedophilia is still bad. I'm like, well, what are people going to say about in 10 or 15 years from now when they're going to be going to the Supreme Court wanting to have legal marriages with like kids? and, like, young boys. I mean, like, what's to stop that from happening? But that's how we've been treating homosexuality for, you know, for a long time in this country.
It's just, Salon actually took down their articles that were pro-pedophilia after the Milo thing happened, because they wanted to run anti-Milo articles, but they're like, wait, this would kind of contradict before when we ran these confessions from these pedophiles. We're like, I didn't do anything wrong, I just happened to have a certain attraction. Yeah. You know, so it's like, you know, this is something that the left was arguing for themselves, and then they saw an opportunity to take Milo down by attacking him for this. So they're pretending like they never argued for this, even though people have the screenshots. People talked about those articles for years after they came out. And just now they're like, oh, well, maybe this is a little embarrassing if we have this stuff up on our website when we're attacking somebody who, you know, was the victim of pedophilia and then became very confused about their own sexuality. This is the case with Milo. And, you know, they're just like, you know, they don't have any real principles to stick to this if they can use this as a way to bludgeon somebody they hate for having their own political views. But they don't have any problem with his actual sexuality. They're just using this as a way to try to force him out of the position he was in. And so it's like they are acting like this is some principled crusade on their part when they're the ones who have been promoting what made this, you know, individual's sexual acts possible. You know, the whole climate that you know, made Milo into, you know, ultra flamboyant, you know, hanging around with little kids and all the messed up stuff about Milo that's come out.
Yeah.
You know, that's all a product of their culture. It's not like they can blame CPAC for that, which is what they were trying to do. CPAC didn't know about this stuff when they invited him. They weren't condoning it, and they disinvited him when they found out, but people are trying to tar them by association, which was the whole point of this witch hunt. It's, you know, they're trying to say, oh, look, all these Republicans must be pedophilia because they invited somebody who made some comments on some obscure podcast. Like, you know, like, they know everything that this guy ever said. You know, they just invited him because he's made himself into a martyr by, all he wanted to do was speak at college campuses and espouse, you know, slightly right of center views on Trump or whatever.
Yeah, and basically and promote freedom of speech. And,
that was why he got invited, because they thought, well, we favor the Constitution, we favor the First Amendment, we're going to invite this guy to speak about the problems with political correctness is having on freedom of expression and freedom of political views on college campuses. Uh-huh. And then they tried to conflate this with everything else the guy's ever said, and they were like, well, what about this time where he had an argument with a transgender person? Or what about this time where he, you know, got in a spat with Leslie Jones on Twitter? Doesn't this prove that he's transphobic and racist? And then they were saying, well, look, he was going to go up there and he was going to say that illegal immigrants should be deported. We can't allow the kind of hate speech as saying that we should enforce the laws on college campuses. Well, you know, that's the opinion of the majority of the American people who's president, you know, and they're going to treat this as some sort of impermissible hate opinion where if you believe that, you have to be in the KKK. And they're promoting, like, you know, this total misinterpretation of mainstream views that millions of people have. And that's what they really get offended about him, is that he doesn't accept every premise of their radical ideology. And it's not that he did this stuff, which they themselves condone and engage in on a regular basis. They're just using that as a way to destroy his career because he challenged some of their other concepts. And so they're just total hypocrites, and they're acting like they're the
exactly.
Moral
it's all
people.
Yeah, it's all hypocritical. Their actions and values. They want to act all moral and highly, but then like they do crap like this, and it's like I'm sorry, but not sorry. That's like, oh, it's a giant cesspool of crap. I mean, it's just like I can't help but scratch my head and be like, Do you not know what the term hypocrisy means, or being hypocritical? And it's not just, like, I guess for me it's like, it's not just them being wrong. Anybody can be wrong. People are wrong all the time. You're not allowed to, you know, you're not, like, given a right or a privilege to be wrong. You're just, that's just how you learn things. But it's just the sheer arrogance of their attitude of how they're trying to make a wrong thing into the right thing, or do the best to turn everything they do and everything they say, which is so hypocritical what they're against or for or whatever, and try to make it right in the best light, but it just falls flat on its face. And it's just like, and they get madder and madder when it doesn't go their way. And they're like, well, of course it's not going to go your way, because there's no strong, strict moral value to you trying to correct some mistakes that you're trying to accuse others. See, I can't even say it right because I'm getting confused trying to say it.
Yeah, it's impossible to keep up with what the new party line is from them, because if a week before this, if somebody had said this on the left, they would have just said, well, look, this person's a victim of sexual abuse, and we have to be sympathetic for them, and we have to take everything they say at face value and never question them. Oh. Because, that's what they say about the college rape culture thing. If anyone questions the concept of that, then they're just questioning victims, and they're not respecting the wishes of victims. Well, Milo, it sounds like he was, raped as a child or something, and he got some sort of weird Stockholm syndrome, and it turned him into some sort of, sick guy as well.
Yeah.
In terms of his sexuality. But, that's just a product of a culture that has been created over decades, and they're trying to make it seem like it's all about him, when it's about like a broader societal problem that they themselves are partially responsible for. And so I just see it as hypocritical for so long to write all these pro-pedophile articles and then to pounce on Milo. It's just like, what about what you said just a few months ago? And now you're acting like you have the moral high ground when it's just ridiculous. The sort of superiority they have, where they say we're the moral vanguard of America, trying to preserve its values against a fascist takeover, but they're trying to shut down freedom of speech themselves. And they have no respect themselves for.
They have no respect for anybody else.
But they say Trump doesn't respect the Constitution. Well, since when did they ever govern as if they respected the Constitution over the last 8 years? Did Obama restrain from doing executive orders? No, he issued executive amnesty for millions of illegal immigrants. It's not like Obama didn't misuse executive orders. He implemented cap and trade through executive order. He implemented all sorts of regulations on the environment over executive order. He did all sorts of things through executive order, and they're acting like Trump is a dictator because he did this. They just have no self-awareness in the fact that
no, they don't.
They've done so much worse than what they've accused other people of doing, and they can't even think that through. Like the thing about Pence had a private email server, and they're saying, well, look, this Pence guy is endangering our national security. Well, did you forget about somebody named Hillary that you ran for president?
Yeah, the media didn't shut up about her for a long time on that. I mean, and I guess she's still under investigation. I don't know. But, yeah, it's so stupid.
It's just, the hypocrisy is amazing. It's amazing. They think that they're perfect, and they don't know anything about history, about other people on their own side, about...
No.
About anything. They just saw some headlines that said Trump said a nasty thing. I hate Trump, but they don't think, what if Trump's problems are just one set of problems and there are millions of other problems in America, and that they just ignore because they don't get headlines as much and because of the biases of the media. And that's, it's just an inundation of that kind of stuff. Whenever I click a cloud paste fan, I'm like, I'm getting in for a whole bunch of politically correct nonsense. Like every day, 100 tweets of absolute
self-unaware. I think we need a bar cloud from Twitter.
I keep telling him, like, why do you follow these people, man? They're crazy.
I don't know.
And he's like, eh. I feel like it's just stuff I saw retweeted onto my feed is the usual excuse.
It doesn't really, the only context is like, wait, LOL, what? Like, is that you for it or against it, Cloud? I don't know. Like, I guess
he thinks the tweets are silly. But.
Yeah, they are silly, but it's just like, I'm just like, I'm not gonna. Well, there was that, what was it, that one guy that went on some thing about how, like, oh, cartoons in the 90s and the 2000s were about sex education.
Oh, man,
and I was like, you now figured this out? Like, he brought up Rocko's Modern Life. Dude, Rocko's Modern Life is a more mature cartoon show for kids than you would have thought 20 years ago. Like, I remember seeing some episodes, like, I think I got the first season set, and there was a whole lot of comments and gestures in there. I'm like, holy crap, this is definitely about sex, that they're, like, basically kind of camouflaged in there as a joke. But, like, it's clearly, as an adult, you see what they're actually mentioning, and that makes it even funnier.
90s cartoons hold up very well.
Yeah.
On having multiple layers, and they had Cow and Chicken in there as well, where they showed some carpet munching women in one of the tweets. But yeah, there's all sorts of sex jokes in Cow and Chicken and I Am Weasel and Ren and Stimpy and
oh yeah,
all those 90s cartoons. But
I don't understand.
These cartoons made them gay somehow or something.
Yeah, that's the stupid part. Like, they were bringing up, like, they're bringing up freaking Rugrats as, like, my, like, what was it, like, getting introduced to, or, like, outlook on sex or something. It was like, oh, Grandpa said he bought Reptar movies and, like, some space sci-fi sex movie or about vixens. And he's like, you can't watch this. This is for me later. It's like...
Like Barbarella, basically, is what he was going to watch.
Or, I don't know, Emmanuel in Space. Those, like, Skinamax soft pornos. I'm like, I don't care, man. The dude's, like, 70-something years old. He didn't have a wife.
But they keep claiming that, like, each time they would show a magazine, because they don't actually show what's in the magazine on Ed, Ed and Eddie, they were like, look, the Eds are jerking off together to gay porn under the bed.
And they were like, wait,
they didn't say that. That wasn't implied.
And they're
interested in girls throughout the show.
It's like, no, like, guys share a bond looking at naked girls, like, when they're in their adolescence. But they're looking at the girls, they're not looking at each other. It's so stupid. Yeah.
I've been going through my old Cartoon Network tapes, and there's like a one where they're looking at a magazine, and the centerfold comes falling out of the paper, and then it turns around and it shows it, and it's the Cartoon Network logo, and they're all, like, drooling over it. So it's like, you know, Cartoon Network, they were fully aware of what was the contents of the shows they were airing, and, like, they at the first part there's, like, a little innuendo of, like, oh, what are they looking at that they're so excited about, and then they flip it around, and it's like, you know, they're not looking at gay porn, though. You can think it as whatever you want to think it,
but John,
it leaves to the imagination.
Watching Cartoon Network will make you gay, according to the liberals. That's what made him gay, was Cartoon Network.
And then he started talking about, like, oh, you know, I have a third soul from the ancient times, and this is before America was founded.
Third spirit was the term or something.
Okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But, you know, it just made me think of HG with his, like, oh, I was Rurouni Kenshin and
his otaku kin. Yeah, that doesn't... Oh, gosh. You can't have a past life to an animated cartoon character made in the 90s. Which, the show takes place in the Meiji era 150 freaking years ago or whatever. Or 200 years ago.
I tried asking him, like, during when that first came up, like, why are you insisting that you're Kenshin in a past life instead of the real world individual that Kenshin was based off of?
What if,
and, like... he was like, well, because my experiences are exactly the same as in Rurouni Kenshin OVAs. And it's like, oh, okay. So you
in what context? What context would that be under? Like, do you walk around with a freaking katana to school and, like, dress up in that attire and wear your hair long in a ponytail? And call yourself Batosai? Yeah, like, no, that doesn't make you a samurai. That makes you a freaking weirdo.
I guess everybody who bought a Naruto headband in 2006 was a ninja in a past life. The show really resonated with them, and they had to buy the clothing item, so it must actually have happened to them 1,000 years ago another dimension. And we asked them, like, well, how would the soul get from another dimension into a comic book into your mind? And he's like, quantum shit.
Yeah, like, animation cells do not carry souls, HG. It's just pain on cells.
Did we talk about the controversy where he wrote an article for My Anime List website?
I don't think we did. I remember.
Okay,
like,
we
that
gotta
came
bring
up,
it
like,
up.
Okay.
This guy, we knew him on Toon Zone, HD Revolution, and he's crazy. And
of course,
as you may have noticed by now, and he used to come to the AIM chats and invite his friends, who were all also crazy, and they would talk about, like, oh, I just got out of the mental asylum, and then there's, like, some girl he invited that claimed, like, she had the world's largest pair of breasts that she kept getting implants for, and he had, like, all these bizarre individuals that he kept bringing into the chat, and he would invite, like, 10 or 20 of them, and they were all, like, extremely annoying, and...
This must have been, like, 2006, 2007 or something?
Yeah, do you remember this?
Probably no. I don't.
Well, we would like make another chat to get away from them and like not invite.
I remember we had two chats.
Yeah, that would happen when Shark would be on or NIV or HG or somebody who's just like ruining one of the chats. but yeah. Anyway, this guy he went on to become a staff writer for My Anime List, and he wrote an article of the top 10 anime. About kicking Nazi ass, and I think the original one was about, like, I don't remember what the original title was, but it involved the alt-right, it was something like,
yeah, it was
top
basically,
10 anime the alt-right must hate, and then
yeah, no,
they made him change the title.
Well, no, it was basically, like, it was an anti-Nazi, like, piece, basically, like, you know, scenes about, like, you know, shooting Nazis or kicking their butts or whatever. I mean, that kind of sort of makes sense, like, that's kind of, like... I mean, that's not a bad list or whatever, I'd say. Like, at least on that original
title. I think he came up with it right after the Richard Spencer got punched in the face, and there was the big internet controversy. Is it okay to beat up Nazis? And so then he wrote this article, and I guess someone at My Anime List is, I don't know, they don't like HG. I can understand why you wouldn't like HG. And they just added this in there to troll him, Stroheim from JoJo's. And they're like, you know, for a more positive depiction of Nazis, watch Stroheim on JoJo's. He's really cool.
Yeah,
then he's got cyborg powers.
then they changed
it
to like
about it, and he was like, what the hell? You changed my list without asking, you sons of bitches. I'm going to go on blast, and I'm going to organize a boycott. Because anyone who knows HG knows that's his reaction to anything he doesn't like. The Ender's Game movie, this guy was all about going in the chat. He's like, you guys cannot watch this movie because did you know that Orson Scott Card donated money to Prop 8, and he does not favor gay marriage, and he's a Mormon. And then he was like, you guys cannot see the movie. You can't do it. You're going to be funding hatred. And then it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know that there are like thousands of other people who worked on the movie too that are going to get a living off of it if we see it. You know, like, not all of them are anti-gay or whatever. You know, probably some of them are gay. But anyway, the point is this guy's ridiculous and he's always in favor of the boycott. So he's organizing the boycott of My Anime List online and like, posting all over Facebook, and then that goes on his Facebook post where he's trying to organize the boycott, and he's like, you know, I really can't get behind a boycott led by this guy, because I really don't think we should be giving him any attention. I don't remember what exactly Dan said. But
it was
like,
along those lines.
Insulting HG, and it took HG like two or three comments to figure out, like, what is he insulting me or not? Like, because he just can't figure out the concept that somebody wouldn't like him.
I would disagree with him.
Yeah, so he had to like make it ultra sure, and then I guess he eventually figured it out. But but this guy's not the sharpest tool in the shed. I guess it is kind of messed up what they did to his article. But
the article was like top 10 depictions of Nazis, and it wasn't like it wasn't said to be pro Nazi, but it didn't show Nazis in a poor, like in a bad light. It was just like characters that happened to be Nazis that they kind of changed the list of, and they didn't just like change the title; they rewrote the whole article, which I agree is a really crappy thing to do. Especially like that's definitely like messing up your whole work. And that wasn't right, anyways. But like, you know, you don't need to boycott the entire freaking like site of My Anime List. It's just like. I think they got rid of the editor or writer of that. I mean, that's all you can do. And
did they get rid of HG or did they get rid of the other guy?
I thought it was
they
the other
messed
guy.
Messed it up.
Because the other guy was the one that messed it up. So, like, you know, I mean, in a sense, yeah, HG despite how crazy that article might have been on kicking Nazis or whatever, but like that was still his article. Like he wasn't in the wrong. Well, on an editorial part of My Anime List, he wasn't in the wrong. It was the editor who messed it up. So, like, really, they were in the wrong. And but as a troll, if it's set up as an original troll to go against despite HG, then I applaud them.
Yeah, I don't know personally, like, who it is that edited the thing, and I'm curious if, you know, if it's somebody who just happens to hate HG and wanted to get him to quit the website. But
yeah.
By ruining his one of his articles, or if it was just some Nazi that they happened to have hired or something that wanted to rewrite the article to be less anti-Nazi, or I mean, I never actually read My Anime List excuse for it. I saw that they wrote out like a big long essay, like I don't know, apologizing for it or explaining what happened.
Well,
or whatever.
And then they also and then he got someone that runs like what was it, Anime Feminist or something that like. Cater to his like cry wolf thing, and like oh look at him being a victim, and I'm like jeez.
Yeah, I think that was where we first saw it. It was Cloud linked to something on that Anime Feminist or something.
Yeah,
and then later on, Daph was like, "Hey, did you guys see this thing about HG?" He's like, "Oh, that was HG. Okay, that explains a lot." Yeah. And speaking of the alt-right, I guess, briefly brought up there because the HG brought it up. Love that Goku came back.
Yeah.
With two tweets, February 22nd. And, he hasn't tweeted since then. So I don't know if he's going to keep tweeting, but he said, "I am very thrilled to make a big announcement that I have decided to destroy the alt-right. I am relocating to the United States. No, the, for a few days to destroy the alt-right," and then nothing since then. So he may have been stopped at the border, and he's in Guantanamo, and Trump is torturing him. Maybe he was blocked from coming in because he said he was going to go to Lebanon. I don't think that's part of the travel ban, but maybe he had to go to Iran as a connecting flight or something and got blocked at the airport because of his history of arson, and they thought he might have become an Islamic terrorist.
That is a long way to get to the United States from Ecuador. Let me just say this. I've been to Ecuador twice on missions trip. This was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is a connecting flight to either Newark or Atlanta or somewhere else. You don't have to go to freaking Lebanon to go that way.
Well, the thing is, he said he was going to Lebanon to live with Dale because he got kicked out of his sister's house. But we never found out whether he actually made it to Lebanon or not, so maybe he is coming from Ecuador. The tweets don't have a geolocation thing because it's all made up.
Well, John, let's just say this. The Amazon of South America is a harsh mistress, and so is that Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would take a while to get to Lebanon on foot and by boat, so...
He's going to be just using a rowboat like Ember Pilaf on Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, man.
He's got the dragon radar out there with him looking for the balls while he's rowing, just in case he happens to go by a cruise ship.
The dragon radar is just like a dot, and that's just, or like an outline of the country of Lebanon. He's like, "I have to get there."
Dale has the 4-star ball. I have to find him.
He only brought enough Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball soda with him to sustain him for nutrients in the ocean in plastic bags.
Maybe his plan is to ask Shenron to destroy the alt-right since he's too weak to do it himself.
That's true. Oh, man. I can't think of anything else. The only thing I wanted to mention was rest in peace, Bill Paxton, one of my favorite actors. That I was actually really, really bummed to hear that when he passed. And what was it today? Robert Osborne died too. The guy who hosted TCM. Yeah. And speaking of TCM, because Josh mentioned this in the chat that on Saturday they aired Belladonna, a Sadness. That it's Osamu Tezuka movie that apparently did get a theatrical release in America, but didn't do very well here or in Japan, I believe. And that was like one of the things that kind of caused Tezuka Productions, or one of his studios, to go bankrupt at that time. I would freaking love to watch that movie. I mean, I think I have a copy of it on my hard drive, but I just haven't gotten to it. But like, the fact that it was on TV, like, I wish I knew about it and I could have recorded it somehow, but.
Right. Yeah. But we didn't know until.
Yeah. Like, how are we supposed to know that Belladonna Sadness was on TCM? Like, they hardly ever air anime. And when they do, there's no kind of like big announcement or promotion. They just do it. And You have to kind of keep up with them. But like, you know, you check their movie schedules and it's just like, well, you know, shoot, like there's. Like, when's the next time they're going to probably air it? Probably, like, maybe 3 years from now. Who knows?
Yeah, they might never air it again.
Exactly, yeah.
But, yeah, they don't advertise their movies outside of their own channel. So you have to, like, keep an eye on their guide all the time.
Yeah. Which
I try to do, but it's, like, easy to fall behind because they air so many movies a day.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep up with everything and know every title and read about every description of every movie.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like poor programming too, because they aired it during Toonami, and it's a competing anime movie at the same time as their anime block on their other channel. So it can't have gotten much.
Yeah, reading. Like.
Fans are going to be watching Toonami.
Yeah, like, if you're going to get people to want to watch your movie, your animated movie, and you're competing with an anime block that gets, you know, a good amount of people to watch it, like, you know, over 2 million or so, if you add all the numbers up, well, it's probably the same people, but like, you know, 1.5 million, let's say, you know, they're not going to switch over to TCM to watch Belladonna Sadness. I mean, yeah, granted they would if it was on a different night and you better promoted it somehow, but when you don't do that, how are we supposed to know?
I think there must have been a dub main for this, but maybe not, but
I have no idea.
But they aired it English subbed, which that further guarantees low ratings. You know, you put up obscure subbed anime from 43 years ago on one channel up against Dragon Ball Z on another channel, you know, and it's the same company, Turner, that operates both channels.
Yeah.
So it's just like a totally senseless programming decision. But it is on their website, so maybe I'll go on there and watch it at some point if we choose to review it, although I don't know if I have the stomach for it. The description said it was, like, about rape and Satanism and stuff. I was like, really? This is a Tezuka thing? But I guess he had a lot of weird stuff that he made, like his anime about Hitler or manga about Hitler or whatever.
The other movie I know I have from him, or I'm also interested in, was that Cleopatra movie. It was like Cleopatra, Queen of Sex. That's like considered an X-rated movie at that time when it came out in the States. But like, I've seen bits of it, and it's just kind of like really odd to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like in terms of animation, it's interesting, but like it's also
does it have his normal style, like people with big noses and stuff?
Or? Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got it's like some trilogy of these Tezuka adult movies that came out in the 70s.
Or late 60s and 70s, yeah. That, like, apparently wasn't.
I'm trying to figure out what was the third one. I can't remember, but it was.
I mean, I know two of them. It was Cleopatra and Belladonna Sadness, but there was also another one, and I can't think of it.
Okay, 1001 Nights from 1969.
That's it.
Yeah, it said it was also rated X, and it says that these movies, they had dubs at the time, but it was like they were failures, so they didn't get a home video release later on or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that maybe they lost the English dub of it or something. And,
oh, the rights or the license to it.
Well, you know, maybe it's whoever owned it, burned it, or it's lost in some vault somewhere and no one knows. Or
that's
like it doesn't even say on the Wikipedia page who did the. Oh wait, actually, it does. Xanadu Productions, a small company, and it's like you click the Xanadu and it doesn't take you to anything. There's no page for them. It's just a red link. So it's who knows what happened to this company if. You know, they sold their warehouse and all their tapes got sold off to somebody. You know?
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's kind of a mystery about where you would even find a dub of these, and
I mean,
and
unless
they're probably
it's
not going to air again on TV.
Unless it's with some collector or some pawn shop or somewhere like in West Hollywood or something like that, it's been rotting for 50 years. I mean, you never know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a really weird subject for this movie, Belladonna. It says it's based on a book called Satanism and Witchcraft from 1862.
Huh.
And they have an article about the book that's supposed to be, well, here's what the author said about the book. The object of my book was purely to give not a history of sorcery, but a simple and impressive formula of the sorceress's way of life, which my learned predecessors darken by the very elaboration of their scientific methods and excesses of detail. My strong point is to start not from the devil, from an empty conception, but from a living reality, the sorceress, a warm, breathing reality rich in results and possibilities. So I don't know if this is about, like, the Salem witch trials and the, like, the European witch trials and that sort of thing, or what, but the article does say that it involves Wicca and witch trials. So I guess it could be an interesting subject, because you don't usually see stuff like that in an anime. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's just very weird, the kind of stuff that Tezuka was interested in, compared to like his bright, happy Astro Boy or Unico or that kind of thing.
Yeah, or Princess Knight or stuff like that. This recording is about, the total recording is about 1 hour 55.
Yeah.
I'll figure we can wrap this up, because I've got a Spanish exam to study for tomorrow morning, and I have yet to start on that.
Yeah, that's pretty much longer than our source material, as is usually the case.
Yeah.
Because of closing remarks.
Well, we also had some technical issues, too, which I'm going to have to butter that up somehow and edit
it. Edit out. Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Are you going to see the King Kong movie?
Does that come out Friday, or does that come out next Friday?
Apparently it already came out, I think.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe not. Let me look it up. But James Rolfe has been doing all these videos about Kong. I figure he must. Oh, yeah, it didn't come out till the 10th. Yeah, it's this Friday.
No, I wasn't planning on it. I mean,
did you see the Peter Jackson one?
Yeah, I saw that one, it's been about, like, close to 12 years ago, I think.
When it was new?
Yeah.
I just don't remember, know if I'm going to see it or not. It could be good. But
yeah, I just remember there was some guys, like, when I worked at Toys, because they came out, like, around holiday season 2005. And I remember there was, like, two guys at my Toys R Us job that were, like, ranting about how terrible they thought that movie was. And they were just, like, they were just, like, making fun of it. For, like, and I was, like, sitting there, like, listening to them, like, I didn't think it was that bad. Like,
yeah, I don't quite get it. Why that has so much hate. Maybe because it's so long.
Yeah, maybe that was it, but it was more like, most of the movie was like, how to have a bad day in the middle of the jungle, which was basically it. And then like, it felt like it took forever before they got to King Kong, and then by the time King Kong showed up, it was like maybe 30 minutes of that total. And then it ended, but the rest of it was just trying to get to the stupid monkey.
There was the long boat scene where it was like almost like Titanic, where the first hour or something is like,
yeah,
filming on a boat, and that did take too long, but then once they get to the jungle, that and the part in New York, I thought were both pretty good.
Yeah. Those were like the best parts of that movie, I thought.
Yeah, well, when I watched it, I stopped when they got to New York, because I was like, okay, this movie's been going on like 2 hours already. I'm just going to watch the second hour and a half later or something. It's like, man, Peter Jackson cannot make a movie that's less than 3 hours long.
True that. I mean, this one does look kind of good, but I'm like, I'm not, like, feel a strong need to see it. I mean, I'd rather go see Wonder Woman. Actually, has there been any promos for Wonder Woman?
There have been trailers, I think, but
I thought that came out this month. Did they push it back?
No, it doesn't come out for a while.
Oh, wow. I thought they, like, said it was, like, March. Like, I thought they was going to compete with Logan in the same month.
No, it says June. They may have planned it for another point in time at one point, but you know they keep moving these DC movies around.
And there's probably a bunch of reshoots that they're doing with it too.
Yeah, that's likely. But you know, it's fine if it comes out in June. They don't need to have every superhero movie come out in like the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
save some for the summer.
Yeah.
But since Deadpool, they've been pushing them to more and more like winter superhero movies and stuff, which is just.
Well, it seemed like
Doctor. Is there any time of year where they're not going to have these come out?
It seemed like Doctor Strange did pretty well when it came out, like in November or something.
Yeah, I guess it did, but I didn't even see it. Did you?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see that, and I got to see Logan. And I'll probably see King Kong. I did recently see Moana, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I saw that around Thanksgiving, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I actually did like Moana. No, I saw Moana actually in early January, that was it. But it came out around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm just
at the discount theater.
Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to Ghost in the Shell.
That's true. You know, people were, you know, they're very negative about it. Before they knew anything about it, just because they're like, those Americans to ruin everything.
Oh,
you know,
no, whitewash. And they were making, I like how they make all these arguments on like, and it's the same arguments that they've been making since they made anime adaptations in the 90s or before that, about how like, leave everything animated, and not let it mess with live action. Like, it's some sort of big taboo thing. And it's just like, look, when you do it right, it's actually a pretty good movie. And my only... Like, honestly, I feel like my only film that I could say that actually did a very good job adapting from the source material was the 90s Crying Freeman movie. Like, when I saw that, like, I freaking thought it was a great movie. And I still think it... I think it's probably one of the better adaptations out there.
You know, what we need to do is review the live-action Fist of the North Star.
That is, well, we also got to cover Guyver too. We got to bring on that Ted Smith guy on also.
Uh huh. I guess we haven't even finished the anime of Fist of the North Star.
Yeah,
you know, there's the number two Fist of the North Star.
Well, there's also New Fist of the North Star,
and the OVA.
Yeah.
But have you seen the live action?
Yeah, I've seen the live action one. The live action one is cheesy in its own way, but it's like it's still a fun movie.
Okay, good.
I honestly, like, it's not the best ones that came out in the 90s, because, again, I only say Crying Freeman, but it's far from the worst. Mm-hmm. And, in terms of live action stuff, like, I know recently, like, in the past few years, like, I know they made a Blood the Last Vampire live action movie.
I haven't seen that yet.
That was...
I have it on my DVR.
That was okay. I mean, there was also Kite, where they adapted a couple years ago, that had Samuel L. Jackson in it. But they only made it really more for direct-to-video and, like, in the European market, I believe. And that movie, I heard, was a piece of crap. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know anything about Kite, the anime or live action.
I've seen the anime once when I was at a friend's house in Connecticut in high school, but I think I fell asleep halfway through it. And she had the censored version, because the uncensored one is basically, like... a straight up hentai title, whereas
heard it was hentai, which is sick. Why did they make a live action one with Samuel Jackson if it's hentai?
I don't know, but and then they got this one, which I honestly I'm not ready to crap on it yet. Like, I don't think it deserves to be crapped on until anime fans see it. And there's people are still going to crap on it because they're going to come in there with their glasses and like, oh, let's point out everything that's wrong with it. Like, you're going to find everything wrong with it. I want to know what they're doing right, and, like, the people that I've been talking to that I know that also in their anime, like, there was one of my students at my youth group, like, he said he saw the movie recently, like, he watched it somehow, and he said he was, like, really excited for it, because he's like, dude, I saw the previews, and the previews were, like, taking the scene straight out of, like, the animated movie, and it looked so freaking awesome. I'm like, I know, right? I think it's going to be an okay movie.
Is this the guy that you're predicting was going to suddenly become a Ghost in the Shell fan when it came out?
I don't remember, but he's one of these guys that, like, you know, he watches anime on its own, and I gave him some titles a while ago. But Yeah, like he was telling me how we saw it and on his own. He said he really liked it, and we were talking about like the thematic elements of it. And you know, it was just a matter of like he's really excited to see Ghost in the Shell in theaters, and I'm like, I know, so am I.
Yeah,
because I want to see how well they're going to do it, how well they're going to treat it, and I think it's going to be okay.
And then they're supposedly making that Battle Angel Alita movie, which is actually, I was surprised, I looked it up the day, because I was watching the anime, and then it was like, oh, aren't they going to make live action of this, and it's coming out next summer, 2018.
Well, Peter Jackson doesn't have, James Cameron doesn't, he doesn't have control of it, he gave it to someone else. Thank right. God. So now it can be made. Yeah, he's just going to be a producer of it.
Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, well, that'll be good then. Like, I really like Robert Rodriguez's films. Like, especially, like, in terms of effects and making something entertaining. Like, he does a good job. Now, they may not be number one hit movies, but in terms of, like, what you want going into a Robert Rodriguez film, it's all there. And I think he'll treat the movie with justice. So, like, actually, like, thank God they're making a Battle Angel Alita live action under him.
Yeah, it could be pretty good. But yeah, that's coming out next July 20th, 2018. So.
Okay.
It's that they've already filmed it and everything, so. And it was filmed in Austin, so I guess maybe you're right, Texas can be cyberpunk. This movie's in El Paso and Battle Angel Alita in Austin.
Well, I mean, if you think about the Battle Angel Alita, like in the anime, like they have that like really nice area above the sky, and then like the below on the ground was like, you know, basically like a dump, like the wastelands or whatever. And you know, that's basically Texas in a nutshell in about 20 years. So yeah, I think filming in Austin worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
So, no, that's cool to hear that. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording then, unless you got something else to say.
No, I think we've covered it all. All
right. So, if you made it this far into closing remarks, and I know it's been like 45 minutes or 50 minutes, thanks for listening. Check us out next time, whenever the next episode might be. We might be doing once-a-month episodes for right now. I don't know. But at least we're getting content out there, and that's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, till next time. Later, guys.
Later.
This band played at Free Fest. About 2,000 people watched the show. The rock and roll was awesome like Chex Press. The jam session was whipping a horse's ass with a belt. Free Tapas. Free Tapas. Free Tapas. Free Tapas. The band played it on. The band got down like a magic kiss. The crowd roared like a lion. The rock and roll jam session was terrific. Free Tapas. Free Tapas. Free Tapas.